The Buffalo Bills have wrapped up minicamp after this past week at One Bills Drive. Now, it's the summer and the wait for training camp. You can catch up on any of our minicamp reports from our own Sal Capaccio on WGR550.com. Around the NFL, the league has closed its personal conduct review on free agent wide receiver Stephon Diggs, ruling there was no sufficient evidence of a personal conduct violation. Diggs was released by the New England Patriots back in March. Stanley Cup Final, the Carolina Hurricanes and Vegas Golden Knights will be off until Sunday. Carolina will have the first chance to be able to hoist the cup. They hold the 3-2 series lead. Meanwhile, the NHL has released its end-of-season All-Star teams this afternoon. Sabres defenseman Rasmus Dahlin making the list as a second-team All-Star. He is Buffalo's first player to be named on either the first or second team since Ryan Miller in 2010. The World Cup gets started for the United States this evening. They'll be taking on Paraguay at 9 p.m. tonight. One other game going on in the World Cup today, as it's Canada taking on Bosnia. That one underway right now. This update's brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile since 1935. I'm Derek Kramer. You're listening to WGR.
Not here right now, he's still at work, so I'm gonna bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm gonna see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm gonna set up the speaker and I'm gonna listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hello, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
Oh, hey now.
Thanks for smelling. No, you really can't. Do we have that yet?
I don't think so.
We don't want that, do we?
I don't. Maybe
it's weird. The room has a weird smell today.
I got here late. Maybe I missed a meeting. I don't know, but I don't think we have smell.
Do you agree?
Cam yet.
You're just going to test it now? Don't you notice that kind of thing it's not a thing?
I didn't notice. Now I'm worried that it's me.
Well.
Because this shirt has just been hanging in the closet since last summer. Like, it was laundered last time I wore it.
Everybody with me.
But it's been hanging for
a while. Is Bobo on the show?
And sometimes, I don't know. So when I do this, when I pull a shirt, like a spring shirt or a summer shirt, out of the closet that's been hanging there a while, I'll put it on, and sometimes I'll get a few hours into my day and realize, like, oh, this is musty. This smells musty. So I'm going to just try to get a spot.
No, don't worry about it.
It could be me. I might be musty.
I might be musty. One of my favorite Judy Collins songs of all time. Play musty for
play
me.
Play musty for me.
The show has never sounded stupider. I think it could be me, but if it's me, I wouldn't be upset.
Okay.
I wouldn't notice it. I wouldn't, right? What does Sarah Silverman say? You can't smell yourself.
Right. Well, that's, but some.
I don't think it's me.
I think sometimes you can, though.
But I think it's possible. I just got off the mower.
Oh, well, all right. That could be a smell you brought
in here with
you.
Yeah, hopefully it's cut grass, but that wouldn't be unpleasant.
No, that would be fine. I would enjoy that.
You would enjoy that. Boy, you're missing so much not being in this room right
now. Yes, you really are. Yes. No doubt.
I went back and forth on when to cut the grass today. Tomorrow I'm traveling, mm-hmm. and I wanted it was 2 weeks almost. Oof. We're at the, you know how it goes with your lawn. Right when it warms up, it looks like it needs to be cut every other day.
Right.
And then by the time you get to August, it never needs to be cut again. It doesn't grow.
Yeah, mine mostly
anymore.
Turns brown in the July, August
right.
droughts.
So this is one where it's like I went almost 2 weeks, but I didn't want to go any longer. Is it going to rain? So I go to my weather app, which now, 2026, comes with personality.
Oh, swell.
Is it going to rain today? My weather app, I wrote it down, literally says, quote, "The sky can't make up its mind. Honestly, comma, that's perfectly fine."
This is not what I need from a weather app.
It's exactly what I don't need from a weather app. The point of the weather app is to tell you, all right, just what are the odds? I'm not expecting you to know 100% of the time. Just what are the odds?
Yeah, nor am I going to be mad at you if you're wrong. But like, just at least tell me what, you know, what chances there are.
But worse, perfectly fine that they can't decide whether it's going. What's fine about that? Why would that even appeal to me as
I don't know.
Why would it be perfectly fine to tell me that the sky doesn't know if it wants to drop water on
me? That's the kind of thing that would make me want a different weather app.
I know, but you know,
I'm just saying. I mean, I not that I would act on it, but I would be mad.
We're men of habit.
Yeah,
we'd never want to change our
that's right
stuff. So I'm not going to get a new weather app
for sure.
But
I feel that.
So I did, and I might.
No, okay,
but
I got you.
We'll just get through it.
Oh, I see. So you were out in the hot and came here in the clothes you were wearing.
Correct. All well, right. No, I did change my shorts.
Okay.
But not my t-shirt.
I see. All right.
There's not been a shower.
I cut the grass before I took a shower yesterday morning, and it's a good thing I did because I don't have a rider, and it was... Like, I was soaking wet. Like, I had just run 10 miles after it takes me 20 minutes to cut my grass.
You know, I'm remembering now that Dan Leberfeld yesterday described this show as the best sports talk show in New York State. Mm-hmm. And somebody tuned in today just to find out.
Yeah.
Right. And look at what's happened.
What a disappointment.
What does it smell like in there? Did you change your clothes? What's your app say?
When should you cut your grass?
What is this? That's fair. All right. Well, if you're tuning in from somewhere in New York State, somewhere in Dan's territory, because you are, you know, you're intrigued, this may or may not impress you or interest you. But I thought, in the spirit of the 8-team division winner parlays from last week, and maybe reverse power rankings brought to you by Empire Electric, I would put to you the task, and I can, you know, help if you want, but I'm not sure I would want to overrule you on this. The 2026-27 Atlantic Division standings. Shouldn't that be really tough to get right?
Yes.
What do you think will be harder to get right? This or an 8-team NFL division winner?
I think this. To get all the get the teams in the right order, all of them in the right order.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that's. I mean, it's going to be so probably very close at the top.
There are no givens.
It's going to be very close everywhere. It'll be close. It'll close. You know, they'll be like there was this year the 3 100 point teams. Although Boston almost made it four, they had 98 points, I think. And then there'll probably be three teams that are kind of 90 to 98, like in that range, 90 to 100. I guess I don't need to cut it off at 98. And then a couple of teams just like will be gone.
Really?
Yeah.
What is
or at least one, maybe. Maybe not two.
What is the safest bet, team and slot of them all? I think I have a guess. But to me, it seems a little bit not safe.
My first instinct is to say Toronto last.
Oh, that's what I thought you might say. But doesn't that seem risky? Like, how safe would that be? Last. Detroit. Boston. We talked about Boston like it was
maybe,
kind of a fluke.
Yeah, maybe not. That wasn't sticky. Yeah.
Ottawa.
I still believe in Ottawa.
Okay.
I definitely believe in Montreal. Toronto, I just don't know what they're going to do. With their roster as currently constructed, there's a lot of writing. There has been for maybe a couple of years about needing, you know, they need a lot of things. They need to overhaul their defense corps, and they're not capable of really doing it. I don't think.
Why?
They don't have pieces to trade, and I don't think you can go into free agency and you know, like they're talking about trading Riley, who I get if you want to get a new number one defenseman, you should do that, because to me, for a team that's been the level of contender that they've been for the amount of time they've been, mm-hmm. him as a number one has never really cut it to me. I just thought he, at least in the last few years, certainly, he's to me way past his prime. And like, but their decor overall is just old and slow. And I don't know what they're going to do about that. Like, there's not, that's not a one-off season fix to me. So I think they're in real trouble there. You know, assuming they keep the peace with Matthews and, you know, keep going. We talked about Matthew Nyes yesterday and how it was weird to me that he was on the trade market in the spring. I kind of doubt that he will be now, but I guess he could be. Like, it depends on the an answer to why would you trade Matthew Nyes is what I just said about their decor. Like, we need to do something there. So maybe that's a part of that. I don't know. But
what about the first overall pick?
I just don't think I don't expect Gavin McKenna to just show up and put up 60 points.
Okay.
I think he's deserves to be one, not unquestionably. There's a Swedish guy that people are still writing and talking about, but mostly it sounds like it's going to be McKenna. And I don't think he is. I think he's going to be a really nice top line type player. I just don't think it's going to happen. He's not, to me, one of these guys that just shows up and is great.
He's not a needle mover for next year.
Like, I don't think he's the level of prospect Bedard was, even. And Bedard hasn't really blasted off. He's good and it's promising, but it's not like, you know, it's not Celebrini. Like, look, he's already getting MVP votes and stuff.
Even if he were, it'd be hard to necessarily make the argument that that elevates the Leafs significantly.
Yeah. Right.
And you're saying you don't think he will be.
I think every other team in the league sitting here today, now we haven't gone through any of the off-season machinations yet, you know, the trades and the draft and free agency. I think Toronto looks like the most questionable team in the division right now.
Okay.
So if I had to, on June 12th, pick the order of the division, they would be last for me.
And you do.
Right, that's my job.
That's what you're doing right now, is doing that.
I have to do that, right.
All right, so I'm going to make this sort of a team exercise, but I'll go along with you on
that. Okay.
Toronto is eighth.
All right.
Boston did have 100 points.
Well, they did get to 100, okay.
Ottawa had 99.
Okay, wow.
And finished fifth in the division and sixth in the East.
Man, what a strong division that was.
You got to give Carolina, up 3-2 now in the final, credit for that Ottawa series.
I think so.
That's me saying I don't think I was wrong on Ottawa.
Right.
I didn't.
Well, me too. Yeah, I was talking Ottawa up big in the last month of the
season. We wanted to avoid them.
Yeah.
And I didn't pick Carolina in the pool, and I never had a chance to win once they got through the first round because of it. And Ottawa, I thought, if you're going to do that, then bet on Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't get anywhere. My concern, by the way, on the pool aspect of it was that even if they did win, I wasn't sure they would score enough. And that was kind of the Flyers in the end. I had the Flyers, mm-hmm. too, but then they went into Carolina and didn't score at all. And, you know, I also had Montreal, and they didn't score at all either against Carolina.
Right.
So Vegas has been able to score. Even last night, they got a couple.
Yeah.
But I watched the middle of the game last night. I just loved the 3-1 goal, the Aho goal last night. I thought it was so hot.
Yeah, it was really
hot.
Nice. Yeah.
And it really included an error. You know the play?
Yeah.
The pass comes from behind the net. The wing kind of just whiffs on it, but there's somebody at the point.
Walker, yeah.
Right to Aho, skate, stick. It's Dahlin against Montreal in game 7,
mm-hmm.
where he puts that puck before the goalie can get over.
Yeah.
Like, that was just a super play. Yeah.
Well, you dipped in at a good time, because that last night, look, every 7-game series, well, it doesn't have to have duds, but the first 4 games of this series have been some of the best Stanley Cup Finals hockey I can remember watching. They've been just drama, comebacks, pretty plays. Last night was just kind of like I watched the whole thing. That was a beautiful goal. And I'm not dinging anyone for the plays they made that resulted in goals, but it was just it was kind of a muddy game.
Well, it was halfway through 1-1, and shots were maybe 12-10. So when I turned it on, I didn't think I'd really miss that much.
Right.
Saw the 2-1 goal. I sort of had a thought on Svechnikov scoring that goal because they just got done saying how he just can't get a bounce. Mm-hmm. And, like, here he is. Here comes the shot. And that one went in for him. And he gets a second one later, right? What's Conn Smythe look like, I wonder? We should talk to Sam about that.
Jordan Staal is getting a lot of love today.
When we talked about this the other day, we got a tweet, like, there's a path for Staal. And I thought it made sense. And then he scores again.
Yeah, it's 5 straight games. Every game of the final, he has scored a goal in.
I'm going to need my guy Stankoven to score 2 in the clincher, I think,
yes,
to have a chance. Yep. I mean, Staal, that was probably great odds.
He's the captain, and he's old, and, like, it's just, he's going to get.
It's the era of Matthew Stafford and John Cooper.
And he's going to, yeah.
Congratulations, by the way, to the Lightning for being one of the all-time great NHL teams.
Yes.
Hart, Vezina, Adams.
Yeah, MVP, Vezina winner, and wow, what a coaching job.
What a coaching job. Yep. What a season. Who will forget it?
Yep. Couple of first team all-stars announced today too. I mean, it falls in line, same 2 guys, the MVP and the goalie.
Did you get Joe's question?
I don't think I got Joe's.
There are 2 other teams in NHL history.
Oh, yeah.
To have Hart, Vezina, Adams.
I saw it. I don't have it memorized. If you know it, go right ahead. It's like historic seasons the teams had both times.
So according to Joe, he put this to me, and I got the first one. 77 Canadians that won, like, almost every game.
Yep.
LaFleur, Dryden, Bowman. And I'm like, all right, feeling good. I got it. There's one more. And he's like, it's kind of a trick question. Well, tell me.
Kansas City Royals.
The Kansas City Royals. Elway, Marino, Herzog. The 97 Sabres.
Oh, wow.
Hashik, Nolan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, same guy won.
Hart, Vezina, yep. Jack Adams. Those are the only 2 other teams before Tampa to win all 3. So we're not done here.
No, I know.
That gets tougher.
We only listed 1 team.
Toronto, this year's last place team, next year's last place team. Then what?
Well, you mentioned Detroit, and, you know, they could do well in a Larkin trade. So that's why I don't want to pin them below Toronto, but that is a huge variable, and for that reason, they're the team I would get to next for 7th. Like, is it okay that I'm going bottom to top? Is that
Empire Electric? That's reverse what you power okay. rankings are brought right. to you by your local neighborhood.
Thank you.
Good. Residential electrician.
This totally works. So I think I'll say Detroit.
Okay.
They've got this long streak now. It's at least ten years. Yeah. Of not being in. Their best player and captain wants to leave, and you know that could end up being good for them. But we'll see. There'll probably be futures in there that won't impact them this year. So we'll see how well they do with someone to step in and somewhat replace Dylan Larkin should they make that trade. But I think that's just such a big question that I would say that doesn't go well enough, and they are 7.
6, Boston.
Yes, I agree. This is totally on. You remember we talked to Flutush and Zawa, the beat writer for The Athletic, covers the Bruins. And I asked him, I sort of loaded the question too. It was a little bit like, it was kind of a little jerky, I think. Like, is this real? You know, because I thought there was another step back. You're like, no, you know, they got this and this and this. And, he, you know, that's why it'll, you know, and Higgins looks like a nice player, and that could have an impact. There are decent young players there, but I just don't. I don't believe in it. I just didn't. I didn't think they were that good this year, really, and so I could see a 6th place finish for them.
All right, 5.
Who are some teams who are
Tampa?
Left? Tampa.
Is there ever going to be a downturn? Not yet. Ottawa, Buffalo, Montreal, Tampa, Florida are the 5 teams we haven't slotted yet.
Yeah.
Next year's division standings. It is, who knows? While you're thinking, who would have predicted this year's division standings for this division?
Right. No way.
No way. Florida 7th, isn't necessarily even the craziest. Toronto 8th might be crazier. Buffalo 1st is crazier still.
Yeah.
First, the most optimistic Sabres fan was not calling first place.
No. No.
They were calling wild card.
We were even reluctant to do it when they looked provably good or great, even. Like
I decided I didn't want it.
Right? I wanted it, but I just was like, I don't know, man. 8 points. Yeah, it's a lot of points. I could tell me, you know, then there were games at hand, too, whatever. Anyway, yeah, it's this.
Who's next?
Start flipping coins. I don't know. I don't.
Who,
I really don't know.
Who will be
know.
The favorite? It won't be the Sabres. It'll be Tampa or Montreal.
Tampa or Montreal, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Florida right there. I might even guess that they get the love of a favorite.
The Sabres could be the fourth favorite.
Yeah, they could easily.
Will we be mad at that?
I'm tempted, probably.
Really?
I'm tempted to end this exercise with Florida first. I think they'll. Well, they got a big question in goal.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so there is that. I should take that into account.
They're kind of old. Marchand? Kind
of, yeah. Barkov's old and coming off a injury. I mean, he's played already, so he's back. You know, he played in the World Championships. I just think they'll be back and rested. And I still feel like there's another strong season in there. But thinking about the division, I wonder how much they'll want to pour into, you know, trying to have 110 points. You know, they might be a team that's old enough to be like, you know, as long as we get to like 100 points, we're fine.
Now, with you know what? I was just thinking when you said that, now that same listener is like, you know what? Dan Leberfeld is right. This is the best sports talk show in New York State.
Who is...
Montreal, Tampa, Buffalo, Ottawa. Let's put Ottawa fifth.
Okay, sure.
What's their claim to hire?
They don't have one.
They have good Fenwick?
99 points. I mean, I liked them. Travis liked them.
Yeah, we like they were good. Yeah, they were good. Right. They could have. Well, you know what? No. I was going to say they could have won the first round. No, they really could not have won the first round. The power play went completely disappeared. Carolina did the same thing they're doing to everybody else, although Vegas is getting through more often, but just you can't get through. So it's like calling us. Ottawa fifth, then.
All right. I'm gonna back way away from Florida winning and say they're fourth.
Good.
Because of this point about like they might just sort of not see the value in killing themselves from October through April.
Okay. So now our top three are the same top three, and the odds of that happening, I bet, are less than 20%. Mm. No matter what the order is. Right? If you could bet.
Yeah.
Well, the same three teams at the top of this division this year be the same three teams next year? No. No. That's the point of the
right.
thought. The exercise here is like, look how many options, many outcomes are possible. So, do you want to put the Sabres third?
Yes. I'll put them third. I'll put Tampa second, and I'll put Montreal first. Like that's how I'm feeling right now.
I don't want Montreal first.
Okay. Well, it is a team effort, so.
Who's their goalie? The guy that didn't play at all?
Probably. I mean, Dolbish will be, you know,
He'll be the opening night starter.
Yes.
All rookie team.
Right. But, all right, this isn't like football, but you put it on the board. By the playoffs next year, Fowler will be their guy.
Canada down in World Cup. First half, 21st minute, Bosnia and Herzegovina scores the first goal in this game in Toronto. So 1-0.
All right, good for me.
Yeah,
I have.
We all have everybody.
I have them in another pool. Yeah, I only have two pools, so I've got six teams.
That's really look and at none of what them are life
the,
you're living,
and none of them are the same.
I've only got two pools for the World Cup. It's only two, everybody. Don't judge me. Sam Panayotovich coming up. He's got a little action on World Cup, he told me. We'll talk to him. Then at 4, it'll be Marty Baron today. I think this is a lot to ask of a guest. Go ahead and do this. 1-8.
oh, I don't want to throw this out.
No, it's like, why did I agree to this?
Yeah. He and Brian will do that on their own show.
He might be watching the soccer game.
I hope he is.
I hope he is too, but I feel like we might be tearing him away from it. We'll find out. So that's the plan. Sammy P after the break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening. This is WGR.
I have the Bills 6th or 7th, and I can be swayed either or. So the teams I have comfortably ahead of them. I think the Houston Texans, Jacksonville Jaguars, the Denver Broncos, I think the New England Patriots. Where I hem and haw with them are the Los Angeles Chargers. I think Ladd McConkey has been better more recently than DJ Moore, but if you were to tell me DJ Moore has a better year, I'm open to that idea. Quentin Johnson had a resurgent year last year in year 3. Where do you compare that with Khalil Shakir?
Carl Jones. Channel 4, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Are you ankle deep even into the NFL player prop streets yet for 2026? I'll hang up and listen.
You know, I appreciate the question. I'll take the question, but you know that. Of course not. No, of course not.
That's Sean McDermott.
That's not something I would dabble in.
If you asked, remember how if you asked Sean McDermott a question he didn't want to answer, he would say, I appreciate that question. I know why you're asking. And then he would say nothing.
Right.
I appreciate that question. You should not appreciate that question. I knew the answer before I even spat it out. Of course you're not in the ankles, the whatever.
No.
Player prop streets. I'm not even sure Sam would be.
I'm not. I don't even know where the street is. I haven't even loaded it into my maps yet. I don't know how to get there.
Sam's over here moving and starting new jobs. As avid a competitor as Sam is, I doubt he's, well, we'll find out. Sam Paniatovich, Fox Sports, Fox Chicago with us on the Westher Hotline. Are you into, I mean, you're not drafting fantasy teams, I'm pretty sure. Are you into individual NFL stuff yet? Maybe awards?
No, and I heard you bring up you were looking for the exact order of the Atlantic Division, and I'm like, I really hope he doesn't ask me to do that because I haven't even, right. Mike, I haven't even found a place to live yet, let alone think about next hockey season.
Well, yeah, let the record show.
Yet here you are on a summer Friday at 3:30 with us. You are a horse, is what you are.
If there's, I'm glad you said horse with an S. Thank you so much for saying that. If there was ever a question about how much I love this show, I moved to Chicago Monday and went through the first 4 days of work. I get off work yesterday at Hallis Hall, which is where the Bears practice, and I'm driving back to the south side with my photographer, and tornadoes are ripping through Chicago. Like, no joke. Like, severe storms, tornadoes. Most of the south side of Chicago, like from 95th to 111th, where I'm hanging out the last couple days, is without cell phone service.
Wow.
So my buddy that I'm staying with doesn't have Wi-Fi either. They knocked his Wi-Fi out. So I drove from his house like 20 minutes away just to have cell service to talk to you two.
Come on.
Let the record show, I did not ask you anything about the hockey standings.
No.
I don't want to be blamed for that. Just because you thought I might. I don't want to be blamed for that. I had no intention of asking you about next year's hockey standings.
Nor did I demand you get in your car and drive across town so you could do the show. But it's very considerate.
Flattering.
And we definitely appreciate you.
Yes.
There's no question.
We should
about
pretty
that.
Much let you talk about whatever you want.
How is the gig? Like, I saw you tweeting, you mentioned Hallis Hall. I saw you tweet a picture of, I don't know if it was your first day there or whatever. How are you digging the gig?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, I've been all over TV. We do news all day and then sports in between, and we have a sports show and all that. So that's all fun. But I'm just like, this is where I grew up, and this is where I'm, happy to be back. I covered Bulls, Bears, Cubs, Sox, and Hawks for forever, and then moved to Vegas, moved to Boston for betting. But now I'm like back talking about actual sports. So, I'm going to have a lot less DMs this football season telling me nice pick, bitch. That's going to be very nice. Because, when you do betting every day, you're going to lose a lot. So it's more of a focus on just the players and the teams. I'll still be doing betting for Fox Sports, and we'll talk betting, of course, during football season. But I'm at practice yesterday, the last day of Bears minicamp. And look, Caleb Williams threw a seed, 45 yards to Luther Burden. And I know it's minicamp, but holy crap, guys, what a throw. And then it gets put on social media, and everybody's like, oh! I mean, you know, it's a throw on the third day of Bears minicamp, and now we're talking about Caleb Williams for MVP. Can we just have nice things? It's June. Can we pump the brakes on this stuff?
Yeah, but no. Who wants to pump the brakes on that? I think you're going, you would know much better. I think you're going back to Chicago at a very exciting time, and the Bears are by far the number one reason for that. I mean, the Cubs are the Cubs. The White Sox are interesting and fun, and you and I are enjoying that. It's your team. But the Bears right now, Sam, your followers, apologies in advance, your followers are reacting to this pass play because they've never seen the Bears throw the ball before successfully in their lives. So that you've got the quarterback. The quarterback is on the cover of Madden. And I think he's like, when you get there, we could talk about it, a kind of cool MVP pick idea, like these 12-1 or thereabouts. So, you know, you could do worse. You could have somebody like Allen that takes over the town.
No doubt. And he's got all the tools. You know, when I think of arm talent, I think of Jay Cutler. And then, I mean, like Kyle Orton kind of had an arm, but that's the conversation in Chicago history.
That is so sad.
Caleb's got, I know, right? It's brutal.
It's amazing.
But look, in terms of upside, and we talked when we built our 8-leg division parlays last Friday, I ended up putting Detroit in Detroit's favor to win the NFC North. I just think Detroit has the best roster, 53 man. But in terms of coach and quarterback, to me, it's not even close who has the most upside. And you're going to see a lot of Bear support. I mean, last summer, when Caleb was learning the Ben Johnson offense, which is very extensive and very like high octane and very tough to master, Caleb was 40-1 to win the MVP, like 35-40-1. And now he's, you know, 15 or lower. This is a real thing. He is... And when he takes the snap now, I mean, think about all the weapons he's got. You got Luther Burden. You got Roma Dunze. They love this rookie from LSU, Xavion Thomas, who's just an unbelievable all-SEC receiver. Colston Loveland, a top 15 pick last year out of Michigan, a tight end. Cole Kmet, another tight end. They love Swift. They love Manunga. I mean, this offense should be elite. And Caleb yesterday was talking about how he thinks that they could lead the NFL in scoring offense. And I'm like, all right, well, it all sounds good. I don't know if they're going to stop anybody, but they're going to score for sure.
Yeah, the coach really, really won me over. I was skeptical, not quite. We need to be into July for training camp. But when training camp was starting and he would be like sort of abrasive toward Williams and really aggressive about correcting mistakes and stuff, I wondered, I think even I said it on the show a time or two. I don't know if I did it when you were on with us. Like, is he one of these guys that's the wizard in the classroom and drawing up all the stuff, but doesn't have the people skills to really be a good, I'm thinking about Josh McDaniels, maybe the first couple times around where he sort of flamed out as a head coach. Like, does he have that piece? And turns out he does. I mean, he's in that room with the shirt off and the victory speeches and all of it. Like, I'm totally in on this guy. Bad read by me last summer, because I think he's you've got a great one there, I think.
I think so, too. And, you know, it's natural to look at, and it's not just a Chicago conversation, any team that plays over its skis with a very young quarterback and a very young head coach. Not that Ben Johnson is young, but he was a first-year head coach last year with a second-year quarterback. Usually, whoever that team is, wise guys are going to say under the next year. You know? They just are. They're going to bet on regression, and they're going to say, well, this team has a tougher schedule, and everybody's seen the plays and all that. I talked to one guy who bets a lot of NFL, and he goes, look, I naturally lean under. But Ben Johnson scares the hell out of me. And I said, all right, I'll print that. Thank you.
Well, I'm not sure the Bills ever would have had a sniff of Burden last year, but he's easily somebody in this years-long thirst we've had here for a wide receiver in the draft that we can imagine being like an all-time great. Burden was one of those guys last year.
That was your idea for them last year, I think.
I loved him. Because, you know, the guys that have sort of the weird negatives, I feel like, just let's not overthink this. Here's a stud. But what happened was the Bears picked him at 39, with the pick they got from Carolina from the Bryce Young trade. They had Carolina's second, so they had that pick. Then they had the other second right after that. They traded that to the Bills, and the Bills picked T.J. Sanders with that pick. And then now D.J. Moore, who was in that first Bears-Panthers trade, is here, right. Which means nothing to this. But well, one thing it means is like there's just more bandwidth for Burden to be great, or even Odunze with the Bears. We can't just talk about the Bears every week with Sam going forward, right? We can't just do that. We can't have a Bears segment.
I don't think that's sustainable. No.
Well, let's do what the people want, and that's look at the College World Series
right, Sam,
schedule.
Right. Texas, is that tomorrow night, right?
What are we looking at tomorrow?
Yeah, double elimination. So it's down to 8 now in Omaha. And Texas and Georgia play double elim. So you get that first one tomorrow, and then you feel good about finishing it off in game 2 or game 3. As we talked about before the whole bracket started, this is what you want. You want to beat Omaha, and I still believe Texas is the most complete team, but now you're facing a Georgia team that is as good. I mean, everybody here is good, obviously. I saw that Troy was on the list. I'm going through the teams of College World Series. Troy and West Virginia are playing right now. Just like we thought, Bulldog, Troy would be right. In the College World Series.
How do they get to play each other? How do they seed this thing?
Well, it's just like how the bracket, they do all these like regions. There's 8 different regions, and then it's just bracket style. Like they didn't, there's no like pull names out of a hat or anything. So Troy, West Virginia, Ole Miss, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas, and Georgia. And on this show 3 weeks ago, we talked about Texas at plus 950 or so. So I'm feeling good. But more importantly, I don't know if you guys have been following the content on social media. There's a bar in Omaha called Rocco's, and they do this Jell-O shot challenge. And every school in the field of the 8 has a color.
Yes.
And whoever wins the Jell-O shot challenge, the charities and all that kind of stuff, there's a lot of money going around. West Virginia, in I believe 2 days, has taken 7,900 Jell-O shots in Omaha, Nebraska.
We talked about this last year.
Yes.
It was new to me last year.
Right. The South sounds familiar, yes.
West Virginia.
7,900?
Showing up.
Yeah, that tracks, I think.
Yeah, I didn't want to say
Well, then, for context, the next closest school is, let's see, Ole Miss has 2,000. West Virginia has 7,900.
Right. Jeez. Tell me about Jell-O shots. That's never been my thing. Like, how fast does it affect you? How many do you take before it sort of, 1, 10? What's the experience?
Yeah, how much alcohol content is there in a Jell-O shot?
What if I take 2? Am I
do you know
wrecked?
Well, if I'm making them, it might take you 2. It depends on who the pourer is for sure. But I believe now they're professionally made. They claim there's a shot in every one, like a shot of alcohol. But I'm like, that doesn't make sense, because if you actually hold a Jell-O shot, it's built to hold, like the shot cup that it's in is a shot. So there's no way it's all vodka. It can't be a full shot of vodka, can it?
I would think no.
So it's up to Rocco in the end. How much alcohol is in there?
Right.
I did shots
I
with my
idea.
I did shots with my sister and father-in-law last night. And
I'm going to bring
on a Thursday.
I'm going to bring Jell-O shots. Sorry, Mike.
Okay.
I'm going to bring Jell-O shots to the Christmas party at Bulldogs. That's what I'm going to do.
That's how you're going to assure yourself an invite. So they asked me like, what should you pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, Jameson.
They're very happy with that choice.
It turned out that, yes.
Choice, I'd say.
Is that the definitive? Family Feud. Is that the number one answer for like a shot drink? Jameson? Crown, maybe?
Yeah, that's up there too. I mean, I think different regions have different answers to that. And even different bars. But like, Jameson is probably the liquor I've had the most shots of in my life.
All right. Well, maybe that's true of me too. Sam, what a pleasure and an honor. Are you moved in? You're all set? Oh. You got to get back over there.
No, he's staying on somebody's couch with no Wi-Fi.
Well, you
got to
get back over there and do the rest of the work, it seems.
My entire life is packed up in bins and boxes in Boston. I think I'm going back to Boston in 3 weeks to sell my house, but I'm not sure yet.
All right. Keep us posted. Thanks for your time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sam. Much love.
Sam Paniadovich, Fox Sports, Fox Chicago, Fox Moving, Fox Boston, Fox
Jell-O shots.
Yeah,
there you go. There it is.
All right. We got to come up with a new plan for Sam. We can't just have a bear segment.
No.
If he's out of the betting thing.
Yeah, I don't know what we do, but I want to accommodate. He wants to keep going.
I want to keep going too. Just got to figure out what we should talk about. I mean, NFL is fine. Just can't always be the Bears. Marty Baron coming up in less than 20 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog on this sunny Friday. This is WGR.